This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prep with Mike. Thank you for your support. When you try to balance positive and negative information, it's hard to do that in a collapsing society. And I try. I mean, there's so many things wrong with society that are urgent emergencies. It's a struggle to figure out what you can talk about that is positive. And I've come to the conclusion that one of the most positive things I can talk about is how you can survive the chaos that's coming. I don't mean just physical survival, but also how do you mentally handle what's coming? How do you coordinate the things that are coming? Logistics and supply and interpersonal relationships and dealing with neighbors. You know, I'm not talking about just beans and bullets and stored food. I'm talking about all the other layers of the mental stress, even the increased physical activity that comes with collapse scenarios. It's something to be concerned about. And I've really come to the conclusion that, you know, physical fitness, which is not something that I actually talk about that much, but physical fitness is crucial for being prepared for the chaos that I'm convinced is coming. And physical fitness, meaning it could just be something very simple, like the ability to walk 10 miles without, you know, exhaustion, or the ability to bike 30, 40, 50 miles without exhaustion. Simple things. But I've actually begun to look into some transportation augmentation devices, you might call them. For example, a kick bike. So I recently purchased a Fat Tire kick bike. And a kick bike, in case you're not familiar with it, it's like a bicycle, but it doesn't have a seat or any pedals. It has a platform that you stand on. So imagine a bicycle that you actually stand up and the platform is low, just a few inches above the ground. So you're standing on this platform. You have handlebars and you have brakes and you have a front wheel and a back wheel, but there are no pedals and there are no gears. You're like, well, how does it go? Well, you kick your way forward like you're riding a skateboard. And I used to ride skateboards a lot as a kid, so to me, that motion seemed very natural. But a kick bike is a very simple transportation augmentation device. It speeds up your movement considerably because you can coast on flat ground or you can coast downhill. You only have to work when you're going uphill. And in a Fat Tire configuration, which is roughly 4-inch wide tires for off-road rugged terrain type of scenarios, you can ride this thing through mud or across fields or, you know, in the grass, a pasture, sand. You can ride it on the beach if you have a beach, you know, all kinds of places you can ride this that you couldn't ride a normal bike. So I started thinking about really investigating simple transportation devices that need really a minimal amount of technology or even a minimal amount of fitness. And this kick bike is absolutely one of them. So instead of walking to market to barter your items in a collapse scenario, because you have too many beans and you need some bullets, let's say, so you're doing some barter, you can use this kick bike and you can get there in half the time or a third of the time. And you can wear a backpack, you know, you can put on gear. You could carry 50 pounds of gear or 100 pounds, perhaps, if you're that fit, and you could do this and you could get somewhere more quickly than just walking. Because I'm assuming in a collapse scenario, I'm assuming we're not going to have fuel for very long. That's one of the first things that will disappear. You know, gasoline, diesel. Most people drive gas cars and gas disappears very quickly. Diesel will be around much longer, but not as many people drive diesel vehicles. And also there's an EMP scenario or a solar flare scenario where cars don't even work unless they're you know, late model 1985 or earlier type of vehicles. So there aren't going to be many of those on the road either. So what do you do instead? Well, that's what got me thinking along these lines of transportation augmentation devices. Now, another one is an electric scooter. So there are some pretty cool electric scooters now that are very portable. They are like, well, what's the best way to describe them? You stand on them. They're like a platform. They're like skateboards with handlebars. So you stand on them, and they have batteries that can take you, in some cases, 10, 20, sometimes 30 miles, depending on the model. And most of them are designed to be these last mile commute devices in a city. And you can take these on, you can carry them onto a bus, or you can take them into your office. These scooters, they weigh typically between like 50 and 80 pounds. Some of them have wheels. You can roll them around like luggage, and then you can hop on them, you know, unfold the handlebars and ride it. And these are very useful devices in a collapse scenario. And I've actually started to look at some of these. I'm purchasing one of the more off-road rugged terrain scooters, by the way. I'm going to do a video review for you. The problem is that it's a small company that makes these, and they're 14 weeks behind on production. So I won't have that until like summer. Nevertheless, I've ordered that because I want to do a video review for you. And I want to show you how you can store one of these devices in a car, even in the trunk of any normal car. You don't need an SUV or anything. And then in an emergency, you can abandon the car. You can take the scooter out, hop on the scooter, and you can go 30 miles, even off terrain, you know, I mean, off road terrain. And I want to show you that on film because it's really important to know. Previously, I've talked about having a folding bicycle in the back of your vehicle. I currently drive with a folding bicycle in my vehicle at all times. And I think the maker of that is Dahon, D-A-H-O-N, if I'm remembering correctly. And it's got a bicycle tire pump built into the seat stem. So you have a pump as part of the bike, because, you know, your tires go flat after just sitting around for a couple of months. So you can, with this bike, Dahon, you can just unfold it, you know, drag it out of the trunk of your car, unfold it, pump up the tires in a couple of minutes, and you can be off and going. And, it, you know, it's a little bit of a compact bike. It's not like a regular full-size, super comfortable bicycle, but it's an emergency device. And I think the only thing better than that would be this scooter. But again, the scooter requires electricity. So if there's an EMP or a solar flare, the circuits on the scooter may not function as well. I mean, may not function at all. So, I mean, it's up to you to decide, but fitness is a common core behind all these. You know, if you eliminate electronics through solar flares, then fitness is what it comes down to. You're going to have to walk or scoot with a kick bike. You know, something that uses no power, no batteries, or pedal on a bicycle. Ultimately, you should have a transportation device that requires no electricity at all. And that gets down to fitness. So sort of circling back to what I opened with here, you know, fitness, walking and biking are, I think, the two key things that are by far the most helpful for most people. Being able to walk and being able to bike. Being able to walk, like I said, 10 miles, or being able to bike 30, 40 miles should be no problem for you. I walk many miles a day, by the way. It's part of my routine. I've been doing that, I think, since I lived in Ecuador. When I lived in Ecuador, I had a small, like a hill. I mean, not a mountain, but a hill with pathways that I had cut into the hill behind my property. And I would take hikes on that every morning. And then in the evenings, I would walk along the main road where, you know, the place where I lived. And now I live on a ranch, and so I just walk the ranch. I actually end up walking my goats. So I have these Nigerian dwarf goats, and they like to be walked. So they tag along, you know, they're followers. So I just bring them along. it's hilarious. I'm like walking along with my dogs and a pack of goats. And then sometimes the donkeys come up and say hello. So I end up, here I am standing in a field in rural Texas, surrounded by, you know, a bunch of donkeys and goats and dogs. I'm just getting exercise. But I walk several miles a day, almost every day. I might miss 3 days a year because of weather. That's it. Normally, I don't miss it unless it's like crazy cold, freezing rain or something. And so I'm walking. So I know that I could walk 10 miles, no problem. And actually what I do is I throw on some extra weight. I like to walk with a pack just to add the weight, just to get used to it. Because I know that if I ever had to walk in, you know, a bug out situation, let's say, that I would need to carry gear. And you don't want that to be the first time you've carried gear in 5 years. You want to make sure that you can carry that gear. And so you need to do it routinely. And for those of you who don't live on a private ranch, you just want to go exercise out in a city park or something, what you can do is you can buy these exercise weight vests. I forgot exactly what they're called, but maybe look on Amazon or places like that. Look for exercise vests, and you can put weights on them or in them, and they're designed to allow you to exercise with more weight. And so you can walk around with that, or you can do your speed walking, or you can do maybe some light jogging if you're into that. But you should be able to walk many miles without any problem. Some of this comes down to shoes too. I know a lot of women, they go to work and they come home from work and they wear these insanely uncomfortable heels and all kinds of different shoes that you could never really walk 10 miles in. And, you know, depending on the dress code of where you work, but man, I wouldn't be on the road without a pair of shoes that I could walk home in. You know what I'm saying? I have a pair of sneakers or something, or boots or slip-ons or something. Why would you, like, I've seen people board airplanes wearing flip-flops. I just think, you're just like begging to die. Because if this plane goes down, what are you going to do, flip-flop your way out of there? No. How are you going to exit the plane in your flip-flops and your shorts? You know? Just be prepared at some common sense level. And then in terms of biking, you know, you could get very low-cost living room bicycle exercise machines with resistance on them. You could just, I don't know, watch your favorite program or something. Watch Brighteon videos and do your exercise cycling. And I have a bike like that, and I do that quite a bit too, except in my case, when it's good weather, which is the winter in Texas, it's the winter is really nice. So I spend a lot more time outside. But in the summer, where it's brutally hot, I'll do more sort of indoors biking. But either way, I know that I could get on a bike and I could ride 50 miles if I had to. It might not be the most comfortable thing in the world. And, you know, I'm not going to be Lance freaking Armstrong here, but I can get it done. You need to have that basic level of fitness. And by the way, I strongly suggest that if you can, do biking outside. Because, and not just on some easy sidewalk either. I like fat tire bikes because you've got off-road capability. And when you're cycling in the outdoors, it's actually better for your neurology. You're practicing balance, for example, and that's good to practice. You're dealing with bumps and, you know, turns and things like that. Maybe you're starting and stopping at stoplights or something. And this is a way to mix up your exercise routine. Whereas if you're on just a stationary bike in your home, it's the same monotonous muscle movements over and over again, and it's not even challenging to your neurology. I mean, there have been studies that show that people who jog outdoors, you know, jog through a forest, they get more benefits than jogging on a treadmill. Why is that? Because you've got all those, what's it called, proprioception, motor control and neurological feedback mechanisms that are stimulating your brain. So jogging outdoors on a trail or something, or even on a, I don't know, a dirt driveway or something, is better than jogging on a treadmill. And riding a bike outdoors is better than riding a bike, a stationary bike. So just keep that in mind. If you can, get out into the real world and do your exercise there, because that's going to be more real. It's going to be better training. It's going to stimulate your neurology in more ways than just using a stationary exercise machine of some kind. You know, mountain biking is great. Mountain biking is a great exercise. And if you've got a place, I don't know, a park, a national forest, I don't know, a trail somewhere that you can just do some mountain biking, just get going with it. And if it's too much work for you, you need some help, just buy an electric bike, an e-bike mountain bike. There's a couple of companies that make some really good e-bikes. I think there's a company out of Seattle called Rad Power Bikes, R-A-D, Rad, like radical. I think it's just radpowerbikes.com. There's another company called Volt Bikes. I think it's just voltbikes.com. They make e-bikes. In fact, there's a website called electricbikereview.com, EBR, electricbikereview.com. I think they're the best review website. They've reviewed literally probably over 1,000 e-bikes at this point. They get paid a listing fee by the e-bike manufacturers, but they do a very detailed review. It talks about the power and the batteries and the wheel size and what's missing, you know, what's good, what's bad, all that stuff. And they do videos, and they're very informative. Those guys review e-bikes kind of the way I would, you know, from a very detailed scientific perspective. I guess if I were wise, I would have just launched like an electric bike review website or something, instead of doing this far more dangerous thing that I do, which is talking about the truth about vaccines and so on. But nevertheless, I didn't do it. They did it, and they do a great job with it. So check out electricbikereview.com. I'm pretty sure that's the name. So between these e-bikes and scooters and kick bikes and walking just regular biking, folding bikes and all that stuff, you should be able to figure out some kind of transportation augmentation system that can help you. But you got to have the fitness ready to be able to use those things. So whatever you do, whatever you decide to have for your transportation, I think every person needs a bicycle to get ready for a collapse. And even tricycles are good too. Adult tricycles are great. You can carry stuff in them. They've got like a cargo basket in the back. There's some good, there are even electric tricycles. That website I mentioned, EBR, they've got reviews for electric tricycles, like 750-watt motors and what have you. Get a tricycle. You could use it around the garden, you know, get a fat bike tricycle, fat tire, you know, 4-inch wide tires. You can ride it practically anywhere. Even if you have balance problems on a trike, you don't even need balance for the most part. You can't really tip over unless you do something catastrophically wrong. So there's all kinds of options for you. And I'm going to be reviewing some of these things with more personal videos. You know, I mentioned that sort of high-powered off-road electric scooter. That thing tears up the roads, man. That is like an extreme sports scooter. You're going to be blown away when I show you that. It's also like way too expensive for most people. But, you know, if you care about having a bug out vehicle, having something that's quiet, like an electric bike or electric scooter, is also a really great idea. You know, being able to move quietly is wise in these circumstances. So, hey, stay tuned. Naturalnews.com. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can listen to my podcast at healthrangerreport.com. I've also got a website called survival.news and then gear.news, which focuses on survival gear. So all these reviews that I'm talking about, videos that are coming up this year, they'll be posted on gear.news, some of them on naturalnews.com, but not all of them. So be sure to check out multiple sites that we publish to be sure you don't miss something. Thanks for listening today, and just keep planning ahead, because crazy times are coming. And like, none of us are as ready as we hope to be, even though we're ready than 99.9% of the population, we're still not all the way ready. But, you know, at least cover the fitness angle, you can be well prepared to walk 10 miles or bike 50 miles if you have to. And that shouldn't be difficult. And it won't be with a little bit of training. It's not a big deal. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.